Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Please stand by. Go ahead, Bob.
Thank you, Phil. This is Bob Bakke reporting here from Lewis, Delaware, where we have just received the news of Sam Donaldson, veteran ABC reporter. Sam Donaldson has been arrested for DUI. That's right, Sam Donaldson, who is a White House correspondent for ABC News for many years, covering President Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, and Bill Clinton. He also co-hosted Primetime Live. Sam Donaldson arrested for DUI. Now, it is worthy to note, Phil, that Sam Donaldson did co-host Primetime Live with Diane Sawyer. And as you know, Diane Sawyer has a long-standing drinking problem. And Sam Donaldson, he was arrested on December the 1st for a traffic violation. That's when police determined that Donaldson had been driving and gave him a field sobriety test, and he was driving under the influence. This is...
Oh, whoa, hold on for just a second, Bob.
Bob, here he is. Go ahead, Phil.
December the 1st?
That is correct, Phil. This is breaking news as Sam Donaldson is arrested for DUI a full 2.5 weeks ago. This is Bob Baking reporting here on the Phil Hendrick Show. And...
Hold on. Get him back, okay?
Hey, yeah. Yeah, we gotta get you back on because.
And this is Bob Baker, so go ahead.
Can we kill the music?
I can't do any reporting unless I have the eyewitness sounding music. I need to have teletypes and I need to have a busy newsroom behind me, Phil, in order for me to function as a reporter. So please keep the music up there.
Well, that's fine, but I can barely hear what you're saying.
There's Bob Baker, Phil. What's your question?
My question is. I can't hear him, okay?
I've got to have the music. Keep it good and hot so it muffles out the sound of my helicopter and I sound very newsy and I sound really important, okay? Just going to have to suffer through it, Phil. What's your question?
I'm sorry, what is what?
What's your question?
Dude, what's your question?
What's your question?
My question is this. Oh, I'm going to go nuts with that.
Can't you lower that?
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, the question is, how is it...
I'm making reporting, Phil. Go on.
What happens if we lower that music?
My understanding is he is not able to function properly without that music.
I'm going to have to lower the music.
Please don't do that, Phil, because that...
See? You got to get the music up.
Okay, I'm better now.
All right, forget it.
Wait a minute. You guys pay me, buddy. I mean, I'm up here in a helicopter, and I'm...
All right, just never mind. I can't deal with that music.
Well, I mean, Bob Bakin got to have that music.
I don't care what Bob Bakin's got to have.
Well, it is a little odd that a man is not able to speak unless he has his theme music, but it is not unprecedented. There are individuals that are not able to move ahead unless they have their theme music.
And who would that be?
What about that one guy, Jay Santos of the police?
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police?
Yes, didn't you have a situation with him where he was not able to speak? Or maybe that was just he didn't do his report?
No, he wasn't able to come on and do his report unless he had the theme from Highway Patrol. But that's different. I mean, who cares whether we talk to Jay Santos or not? This is breaking news. Or at least I thought it was breaking news. It was December the 1st.
Well, that's very standard.
Why is that?
Because First of all, the police don't have any obligation to alert news media when they make an arrest. So someone with either Newsday or one of these breaking... Whoever broke the story found...
What do you mean by break a story?
Breaking the story, as in reporting it.
Being the first to report it.
But they broke it, though. Yeah.
No, they didn't break anything. Do I have to go through this again?
No, Bud... It's a phrase. It doesn't mean the story's broken. Now, again, Sam Donaldson was arrested and later released, and there is an arraignment set for Friday, and I think that's why this reached news reporters, because they generally go through whatever is of public record, especially arrest reports, because, hey, you know, if they see somebody gets popped who is famous, you know, they're going to report on it.
Well, that's how Larry Craig, you know, the man in Idaho... the closeted homosexual.
You don't know he never said he'd had a closet.
Bud, you know, what do you call a man that is trying to touch another man's you-know-what in a bathroom?
Well, was he trying to touch it?
We don't have any report on Larry Craig trying to touch anybody's genitals. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, there is no such report. He was...
Well, what did he mean that he's a big guy, he's a big wide guy?
He was probably talking about it, his genitalia.
No, he was not. He was talking about the way he stood it. Would just everybody be quiet for a minute? Larry Craig was talking about how he stood at the... He was talking about his genitalia.
Well, he said he was big.
Yeah, he said it was big and wide.
Big and wide, huh? That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about how he stands. It was a load of horse dung that he was giving this cop. He was telling the cop, I'm a wide guy and I bump. It's a bunch of weird ass. One of the reasons why that story never flew is because any man that's ever used a public restroom, such as myself, those terms that he was using, they just don't, you know, sorry, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I bumped him while I was... One of the things you do when you're standing in a restroom is make sure you don't touch anybody else or anything. If they had any kind of surefire antiseptic in those places, something that would kill every germ that was not only in that bathroom, but every bathroom that you're about to visit in the next 20 years, you'd use that.
So you don't bump other men?
You bump other men? Hey, bud, you bump other guys in the bathroom?
No.
Okay.
That's why I thought he's talking about Italia.
What do you mean, Talia?
You're talking about genitalia.
Why don't you speak English, man, okay?
I don't know if it's okay.
The point is that Larry Craig was found out by a very resourceful reporter who was looking through public records and found that Larry Craig had, in fact, been arrested by the Minneapolis police there in the airport because he was... zipping up and touching a man, right?
No, that's not it. No.
All right, Phil, you have all the answers. I love coming on your program because I'm always wrong.
What?
I've got to look for Tampa.
Oh, here we go again with that.
They're in the car.
You can't just get up and split, Margaret, every time somebody is disagreeing with you.
I'm not doing that. I'm looking for tampons.
They're in your car.
That's where I'm going.
Then why are you standing right around the corner of the door and not moving and just kind of leaning in and yelling?
How dare you let the audience know what I'm doing?
Get out of here. Larry Craig, that story is dead and buried, but one thing's for sure, man. You don't go in there and I'm a wide guy and I bump the other guy. That guy was, he was trying to pick up dudes in a toilet. In the words of Lenny Bruce, the late, great Lenny Bruce, you know, why would anybody go into a public latrine and do anything other than piss and leave, you know? So now we have Sam Donaldson, which has nothing whatsoever to do with that. But what we were talking about was the tendency of the press to report, you know, obviously sometimes these stories come to us a bit late. You'll say, well, this happened on such and such a date. Geez, that was over a month ago. It's because not a lot of these things, the police have no obligation to report anything to the press. They don't arrest Sam Donaldson and then say, hey, we just busted Sam Donaldson. They arrest the guy, they process the, you know, they book him and process all that information, and he is either in jail or he bonds out, and that's the end of that, and then he goes to court. Now, this is due on Friday, and I'm thinking that that's where it was discovered by a reporter saying, some guy that, you know, hangs around the courthouse, and, oh, look at this, Sam Donaldson's coming in. So his arraignment is on Friday. A phone call to Donaldson's home in McLean, Virginia on Wednesday was not immediately returned. McLean is about 110 miles west of Lewes, Delaware. L-E-W-E-S?
Yeah, I think that's Louis. Yeah, Louis.
Well, if you don't know, then why are you asking?
It's a very good question. Donaldson was twice chief White House correspondent for ABC News, covering Presidents Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, and Bill Clinton like stink on You Know What. I'm kidding, I just added that part. He also co-hosted Primetime Live with Diane Sawyer, where he picked up his bad habits boozing and then going on the job. I'm also kidding about that, making it up. Sunday morning broadcast This Week with Cokie Roberts. No, I'm kidding. It was Sam Donaldson and Cokie. You imagine This Week with Sam Donaldson and Cokie Roberts, starring Cokie Roberts. That's what they should have called it, just to give Sam that extra push over the edge for the bottle of hooch. Anyway, coming up will be Don Berman to discuss that. We'll see if we can't get Bob Bakian back on the line if he doesn't have that problem like it sounds like he's got. We're also going... Will you turn that off? We don't need him right... No, that's okay. Go ahead, Dan. We're leaving. Never to return. No, we'll be right back. Also, a little bit of personal life information from Phil Hendry. The Milwaukee Lions have forfeited their final game of the season. Playoffs start on Monday. There was no Milwaukee Lion game. Do you want to know why? Well, you never really know why, but we'll give you a hint. Coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Bob Beck,
the Phil How Hendry is it you're Show. Able to talk?
because you got to Bill Henry Show music. That's up that day. Bob Bakian, news.
I'm sorry, Ted, that we haven't had you on sooner. We've been very busy. We've had...
No, I know that you've got the... I know you've been talking an awful lot about the one-man show, and certainly I'm excited about that. You've been talking an awful lot about the Milwaukee Lions, and certainly... But I am a paying sponsor of some 13 years, and I don't say that to criticize you, but I do say that I think when it comes to the nut-cutting, as we like to say in the business world, Phil... Or, if you will, the meat of the matter. Huh? The meat of the matter?
Yes.
Boy.
The meat of the matter is in Ted...
Yeah, all right, that's okay, that's all right. But I thought that that was a nice phrase. And
the meat of the matter, yes. The Ted Bell...
No, not the Ted Bell meat of the... Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
The Ted Bell meat of the matter. I'm trying to clean that up. I've been trying for I don't know how many years to get people to see that for what it is. We want to put our meat in your mouth means we want to put our steak, our prime rib, our pork loin, our chicken, our tenderloin, our porterhouse, our Kansas City cut, our New York cut in your mouth. That's what I've been trying to get people to say. And now you want to say Ted Bell's meat of the matter.
Why come on the show and start to criticize after 4 weeks?
You're absolutely right. I apologize. I'm sorry.
But the reason why we want you on, Ted, and you're right, I want to have you on a lot more, and there's a lot of guys that we've just been kind of... Steve Bozell has not been with us for a long time.
I don't know who that is, and to be honest with you...
All right, I apologize, but one of the reasons why we didn't have you on, to be quite honest, is because you had some infatuation, which I know you worked out with your wife, for that woman out at the bear pit.
I had a problem, and I talked about it with professionals, and I'm okay, and I did talk to Marcy, and why that has to be brought up now, I certainly understand the audience, follows a lot of our lives because we are celebrities, and I get it. I have a steakhouse. You know, it used to be a time, Phil, when I would take phone calls from the audience. What happened to that? Is that because of these people that are...
Never mind about that, okay? I talk to my audience behind the scenes about that.
Well, I think there's something going on. I don't know what it is. And I wish you'd clue me in. You think you can talk to me behind the scenes? You think you know my phone number? Have you got my cell number? Or do I need to give you six more?
I apologize, Ted. It's just...
I apologize, Ted. Ain't getting it done. I'm sorry to have to call you out right here on the air, but you've got a lot of people out there. What happened to your show? I'm sorry, Phil.
There's a lot of stuff that I can't talk about.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff you can't talk about, you know.
Ted, there's just a lot of stuff I can't talk about.
So what do you want to do? You want to talk about this guy, Donaldson?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about Sam Donaldson. We're going to have Don Berman on later on.
Don Berman, there's a guy. That guy, there's a guy that...
Don't talk to me about his bar. Look, you want to have an argument or do you want to talk about Sam Donaldson?
I wanted to mention the bar tab that Berman's running up at my place, not as a negative, but as an example of how I give credit to celebrities.
You were going to complain about it.
I was not going to complain.
You were going to complain about the fact that Berman runs a big freaking tab at your place. I haven't got the time or the inclination to care.
I tell you what, and I think I speak for a lot of people. When you come down off your high horse, when you get some psychiatric evaluation, then you go right ahead and you call.
Okay, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills, and that was uncalled for, his comments about psychiatric evaluation. He's got an attitude. I don't. And the fact that I had a... I haven't...
Spit it out, Phil. I think you're making a good point. You go ha-la-ha-la-la-la, like that.
I know what I'm doing. And I think the fact that... I understand, for many longtime listeners of the Phil Hendry Show, I understand that we're going through... I said it as best as I can say it, which is, this is the ever-evolving, ever-morphing, ever-emorphing, ever... whatever you want to call it.
What's emorph?
That's like a website.
That's a place where you can go and date a girl that's morphed.
Don't touch him. By the way, Bud, I had a comment on the fan page today of someone saying you're on the show far too much. They can't stand listening to you, and they hate you.
I don't care. I hate them.
Okay, well, I just thought I'd say.
So you thought you'd drop that little hand grenade on Bud. Phil, the point that we're making here is that Ted Bell was on the program. He wanted to make some points about the fact that your radio show has changed remarkably over the last year or so. And a lot of longtime listeners want to know what's going on.
Well, I've explained it to them. And that's as good as it's going to get.
You've explained it behind the scenes to the backstage pass holders.
They know what's going on. You know, things change. Radio shows change. And to be honest with you, I'm glad I'm doing the show the way I'm doing it right now. And until further notice, that's what we're going to do. And when we're able to change it back to the way that it might have been in the minds of some people... And, Bud, why are you doing that with your fingers? Am I just like blah, 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 blah?
Yeah, it's just like chatter, man. Just get to it.
All right, I'm sorry.
Boy, you take that kind of crap from him, and I have to... I get up to look for tampons, and I'm the subject of a merciless berating. Almost as if... Phil, let me tell you something. You're not standing there with a big handlebar mustache turning the crank on a you-know-what while I'm on a leash... holding a little bellhop hat, waiting for the...
You know, Margaret, come on, everybody, let's move along. This is bad. This is real bad.
Yeah, this looks bad out here, man. Yeah, talk about it in the office later on.
I'm just saying, if I didn't...
Just talk about it in the office later on. That's all I'm saying. Don't jump on me.
Yeah.
If I didn't feel good, I wouldn't be out here.
It's a hell of a thing for you to be talking to me like that. You know?
I'm just saying...
I can't let you out in a game like this. There's four hits up there. Okay?
Well, I jammed the last guy.
It doesn't matter if you jammed the last guy. The last guy was a left-hand. He got a hit on you. What was that other guy? Rivers, Jackson, and that other guy. Wasn't he a lefty? I can't let you out in a game like this, okay? I'm the manager of the team. I'll make the decisions, okay? It may be the wrong decision to make, Margaret, but I'll make the decisions. Don't worry about it. I'll make the decisions.
All right, but I think you're wrong.
Well, I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, okay? But I'll make the decisions. It's my decision to make, not yours.
Hey, man, it looks bad out here.
You already said that. The preceding dialogue, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by Tommy Lasorda, Doug Rau, and the Los Angeles Dodgers of 1978, the tape of which is very famous. It's making the rounds on the Internet as we speak.
And it's Bob Baker, and here getting us back on track, it is all about Sam Donaldson getting arrested for a DUI. Sam Donaldson arrested for a DUI? Bob Baker, plenty.
Thank you, Bob. So, Sam, you can turn off his music now.
But I can't talk without the music.
I don't want to hear you talk anymore. Thank you. So Sam Donaldson arrested for a DUI, and to give us a little bit more on that, from the standpoint of a journalist and a guy who obviously has done an awful lot of that kind of work in his life, that is journalism, Don Berman from Channel 19 News. Don, how you doing tonight?
Well, Phil, I'm doing very well, but I have to tell you, Sam Donaldson's a dear friend, and I will tell you that I feel bad for the problems that he is experiencing right now.
Sam was arrested for a DUI on December the 1st. It's not unusual. Americans are out being arrested for that offense. It's common. I think what frightens us is that it's very easy for something like that to turn into something more serious, like a hit-and-run, a fatality, something like that.
Well, there's no question, Phil, that you're absolutely right. And I think when you're a reporter and you're in the public eye, as I am, as Sam Donaldson is, and as Diane Sawyer is. You see, I brought that name in, and I don't want to be overly dramatic, but I heard you mention Diane Sawyer, and you knew that I was going to comment on her.
I understand. I'd like to make sure that what we say here is nothing that's going to expose me or the company to any lawsuit.
I understand.
Now, hold on. We're going into a break, if you don't mind, and we'll come back out with a full, your full opinion on Diane Sawyer, Sam Donaldson, and drinking on the job.
I'm not going to talk about drinking on the job.
I'm sorry, about reporters that drink.
Yes.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So, not the most groundbreaking news in the world, but groundbreaking enough for us to do it. Don Berman on the line with us from Channel 19 News. Don, we're talking about Sam Donaldson and his arrest for DUI.
Yes, and as I was saying to you earlier, Phil, I think that Sam Donaldson has been a great reporter. I think he's been a good friend. I'm sorry to see that I believe the environment that has been allowed to metastasize at ABC News has finally taken its toll. And by that, I'm talking about the... Get over there. Mr. Martin is here.
You're going to have to move from there.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. I'm sorry. Very sorry. Hold on for a minute, Mark. Hey, Angelo. Hey. You. Hold on, Phil. Could you hold on?
Yeah.
Martin, come here. What did you call me? I called you Martin. Now, I don't know why you keep coming over and using this machine when I'm on the air with Phil Henry, but it's going to stop. You understand? Oh, it's going to stop. Is that right? Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. Okay. Hey, Angelo, this guy here says it's going to stop, huh? It's going to stop me? I'll stop you. I'll stop that greaseball there. Greaseball? Greaseball, huh? Yeah. I'll stop any one of these guineas and these Goombas or whatever you have, any of these spaghetti, you know what, I'm going to stop them from bothering me with this machine. So, you're going to stop me from doing this, right? Right here? Yeah, I'm going to tell you what I'll do right now. There. Yeah. How do you like that now? Your machine's broken. How do you feel? Hey, you broke my machine. Yeah.
Hey, Don.
Hold on. I know what I'm doing. Now, you and that other guinea, get out of here.
Don.
I'm telling you.
If this guy is the way that I think he sounds like he is...
Really, Phil? What is that?
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, guess what? No, he's not. It's all a big show. You and the... That's right, I'm pointing to you. Get out of here. This guy, I tell you what he is. He's the son of someone that bought a controlling interest in the station. I don't even think he's got any money himself. He's coming over pretending like he's all mobbed up or connected or whatever they call it. And I find out this guy isn't anything more than somebody. I think he operates the newsstand downstairs here, and that's it. So no more Mr. Nice Guy. Don't come over here at all.
What's his name?
I don't know. Known by Martin. All right. Now, I wanted to continue. May I continue?
Go ahead.
I want to continue now with my discussion of Sam Donaldson. Sam Donaldson has been a man of... impeccable credentials. But what happened to Sam Donaldson is he was sucked into the vacuum of ABC News, an environment that I think we all know is a degenerative environment. It is a cancerous environment. And all you need to do is look at the woman they have. I forget the name again.
Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer. A woman that had no problem of coming on the television on the TV screen picture, the TV television screen picture. I'm having a hard time focusing. Hold on. Boy, it's hot in here. Would somebody get me a?
Are you all right, Don?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Don't worry about it. I'm all right. This guy Martin, I want to get the. I want to get Mr. Blaylock on the phone. Yeah. Diane Sawyer came on the television screen where you see the picture of the person. After the opening speech that they have for the man that runs the country.
What's wrong with you?
I know what's wrong with me. He dosed my coffee. I know what this is. I know exactly what this chemical is. This Bisonol? It's Bisonol. It's a chemical that I got. This guy Martin dosed my coffee. You're going to jail. Hey. You're going to jail, which I know you're familiar with. Hey, well, you're going to the place where the policeman takes people with the bars.
Did this guy put something in your coffee?
Yes. He put a thing called Bisonol in my coffee. It causes extreme confusion and difficulty with even the simplest of terms. And I'm articulating that to you now, Phil, so that your audience understands what's happening to me. But I will not, I repeat, I will not stop talking on the this thing that I've got in my hand as my mouth goes blah blah.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you're going to stay with us.
All right.
But as this drug takes its effect on you, Bisonol.
That's exactly right. It's called Bisonol. It's a chemical that goes in a pill and a little round thing that.
That's all right. We know what you mean.
All right.
So this guy, Martin, who is not a mobbed-up guy, doesn't own the station, is not even the manager of the station. He hangs around at the whim of one of the majority owners. He's actually just some punk who dosed your coffee with Bisonol and stuck the espresso machine near your desk to bug you.
In a word, yes.
All right. Now I've got the picture. Now I've got the lay of the land. As best as you can, explain to me now what you... We'll just stick with Diane Sawyer.
That's what you, the words that you just say are words that I like. It makes me feel good because I like it, because I want to say the same thing, but not exactly the same thing.
Okay, that means you agree with me.
That's, yes, yes. My head goes up and down.
Right, you agree.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Diane Sawyer, not Tom Sawyer, but Sawyer, and I don't know the origination of the word.
Diane Sawyer, just go ahead.
Diane Sawyer, she takes the bottle with the liquid that makes you talk funny and show your penis to strangers, and she drank it and got on in front of a man who has a machine.
Got in front of a TV camera.
Yes. And acted like her mind and brain and the chemistry therein was impaired. And,
drunk.
Yes, and Sam Donaldson.
You're doing fine. Keep going.
Donaldson.
Let me talk to him. Don, this is Margaret. Just keep thinking of me.
Mr. Bowman.
Who is that?
This is Danny. I'm one of the interns. He passed out. And he's vomiting.
Hold on. Just keep thinking of me, huh?
I thought it would be...
That's all he had to do. Now he's vomiting on the floor. Hey, are you there?
Mr. Bowman. Get him some coffee. Give him some air. Everybody, back up.
Hello. Yeah.
Don, are you there?
Yeah.
Hold the phone up to him. Mr. Bowman.
Bill Henry, are you there?
I'm right here.
Oh, would you tell that hanky swatch to stay off the line? Because the minute that her face came into my mind, that's what caused it, a temporary blockage of the things that I want to have a say.
Fine. You tell him that he is no longer welcome through the back window. That's right, in the family room at 3 a.m.
I heard that, and I...
Just put him on hold. All right, what's going on, okay?
I think you heard what I said.
You're having an affair with Don Berman.
No, I'm not. I'm loyal to Frank. But I've allowed that slob to come through the back window to get into Frank's liquor cabinet.
Why?
Because he's been cut off at every bar in town. That's why, and I took pity on him.
Well, why is he having to sneak in?
Because Frank doesn't let anyone touch any of that Knob Creek. And when I say Knob Creek, I mean it in both senses that you're now...
That we understand it as.
Yes. Phil, quit playing the martyr.
I'm not playing the martyr. I'm not playing the martyr at all. I'm trying to desperately understand everything that's happening here. Frank doesn't know that this guy's going through a window in your family room in the middle of the night to drink his booze because Frank knows he's been cut off at every bar.
But it doesn't have anything to do with him being cut off. Frank doesn't care if you get cut off. You can drink his liquor. What he doesn't like is anybody drinking his liquor without his permission.
Why don't you then ask Frank for permission?
Because he doesn't like Don Berman.
Because he doesn't like both, because...
Because we made out.
Because you made out with him.
Yes.
Well, then I guess Don Berman shouldn't be in your home, Margaret.
You know what? I'll make that call. Thank you very much.
What if Frank's listening right now?
I'll make the call. Thank you very much. If Frank's listening right now, Frank's listening right now. I make the call.
Yeah, but Frank's listening. He's going to hit you.
If Frank hits me, it's a hallucination he's having. If Frank hits me, it's a bad piece of turkey that he ate. I can tell you right now, if he hits me, it's a mushroom he picked and nothing more.
All right, well, all I can tell you is that what we wanted to talk about was Sam Donaldson, and this guy gets dosed by the guy that runs his radio station, who we now find out is not... I've never heard of bicolic or whatever that stuff is.
I think it is something that they gave to bisons. It was a veterinary medicine. I'm looking it up right now on my desk reference. I can't get a lot of information. But bicolic or bisolic is what it was originally called, B-I-S-O, was given to... herds of bison or buffalo as a way of getting them to more docile, I think.
So it's a hallucinogenic, it's a mind control drug?
Of some kind, yes.
A mind control drug for buffalo.
Phil, don't sneer when you say those things. You know, you're not the only, you're not the end-all be-all of all information.
No, I'm not sneering. I'm just saying, you know, my mind can only process so much weird stuff. Here's a guy that I've been talking to. He can't... Oh, man.
Well, now you're laughing.
Yeah, you're laughing, mister. I can't be that bad.
No, it's so bad, it's ridiculous. Here's a guy that I can't get an intelligent word out of because he's been dosed with a veterinary drug called bicolic, usually given to buffalo as a mind control medicine. Who knew that buffalo had to be mind controlled?
When it comes to wild animals, Phil, this is a challenge. It's the challenge of the 21st century. In saving species, in controlling wild animals... In getting them to do what you want them to do, need I say, I'll say one name, Siegfried and Roy. Remember him?
You mean remember both of them?
Both of who? All I know is Siegfried and Roy.
No, the one guy's name was Roy. It was Roy, what the hell was his name?
I thought it was Siegfried Roy.
In any event, that was the one guy got bit by the tiger.
Yes, he was bit by the tiger. Had we had bicolic... He would have been able to mind-meld with the animal. I'll go ahead and laugh.
Mind-meld with the animal.
Go ahead and laugh.
All right, we're going to take a break, and if we can get Don Berman back on the phone, we will. If we can get Ted Bell back on the phone at this point, we will. I have a feeling we're probably going to get a call from Frank Gray. I have a feeling that this is not done, this bicolic mind-control medicine for buffalo. We'll be right back. World-famous... Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our
Channel
bitch.
19.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Get him on his feet right now, McKinley, but I don't know, he don't look so good.
Get him on his feet. Get a drink into him. All right, welcome back here. Don Berman back on the line with us. And are you all right, Don? That's the big question everyone is going to have.
I'm fine, Phil, but there was that moment, and I'm sorry, Margaret, but thinking of you...
You know, you don't have to keep beating a dead horse. I understand, and I want it made clear to the audience, that the reason why he passed out was not because he was thinking of my face and getting sick. It's because of the fear he has of Frank Gray. Isn't that right?
Well,
isn't that right?
Yes, that's exactly right. I was afraid when you said you did think of me, I thought of Frank and what he can have done to my knees.
So is Frank... All right, well, I guess I got to talk to Frank.
No, no one talks to Frank Gray unless he wants to talk to Frank. No one talks to Frank Gray unless he wants to talk to Frank Gray.
What?
What does that mean?
What did I say?
He said no one talks to Frank Gray unless he does.
You mean no one talks to Frank Gray unless he gives permission?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Well,
I'll talk to him.
He's Phil. Didn't you hear what I just said?
Anyway, Phil.
Let's get back to what we're talking about. So you're talking about Diane Sawyer.
Yeah, the effects of the Bisonol is still circulating in my brain. So if you have, if it sounds to you as if the words that I'm saying are not the way I normally say a word, then you'll know that the chemical...
I'll know that you are still under the effects of Bisonol.
Of the chemical that is a mind, is a mood-altering drug for buffalo.
Mood-altering drug for buffalo. Got it.
Well...
just go ahead.
All right. Diane's, who, her last name is the same as Tom Sawyer, and...
Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer likes to drink alcohol more than any other human being in the broadcasting business in New York, even to the point of showing up on television inebriated.
It's a good word.
Beyond belief. It is in that situation that I think Sam Donaldson found himself in, under the influence of a notorious serial drunk like Diane Sawyer, and he felt...
You're doing good, Don.
...that if you can't beat him, join him.
All right, let me interrupt you, okay?
All right.
Diane Sawyer, who you've just described as a serial drunk, created an environment at ABC that Sam Donaldson said he couldn't beat, so he'd join.
If you can't beat it, join it. If you can't, yeah, if you can't beat it.
I think he's using that in the wrong sense. He's saying beat it, beat it. And I think he's thinking more about something else.
Yeah, it sounds like that to me.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I disagree.
Well, he's saying if you can't beat it, and then, you know, he hesitates and says join it.
I don't.
Hold on, Don. You're doing fine. So Sam Donaldson decided to start drinking because Diane Sawyer was.
Yes, Donaldson started to beat it openly and drink as well.
I told you.
See?
What do you mean beat it openly?
Because of the feeling he has for Diane Sawyer, he beats it on a regular basis and drinks as much as she to gain her favorable, to gain her favors, which means raw sex.
Sam Donaldson has turned into a drinker because he wants to gain the sexual favors of Diane Sawyer. Is that it?
Uh-huh. At least that's this reporter's opinion.
I told you, you owe me an apology.
I do owe you an apology. So when Sam says if you can't beat it, join it.
He's talking about sex.
Don, I know how difficult this has been for you. You need to sleep off the effects of the Bisonol.
Right. Anyone got a physician desk reference handy?
I have one here.
All right. What do I got to do?
Well, it says flush the system. It also says something here along the lines of get some rest. So I think that...
Just drink a lot of water and get some rest.
Okay.
Well, you just hung up on him.
No, Bud's taking care of it.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
So anyway, Margaret...
Yeah, just flush your system and get some rest.
Can you keep it down, Bud?
Yeah, sorry.
So anyway, Margaret, when you're talking to me...
Yeah.
Wait, I can't hear you.
I said when you're talking to me...
Just get some rest.
Will you shut up?
I gotta go.
Margaret, you know, let me do the interview, okay? I don't need for you to keep butting in and telling me what people mean, even if you're right. Even if you're right. Even if you're right. Only one person does the interviewing around here.
But he was.
Fine. He was talking about that. Now, how true any of this is, I don't know. It's not a truth serum, after all. He can still be full of crap. It just makes his mind go haywire, which I believe that guy that runs Channel 19 wants it to do anyway, as if Don's mind isn't haywire in the first place. All right, we have some other news that we were trying to get to, and we got sidetracked by Bisonol, a mood-altering drug for buffalo, and Don's mind being apparently transported and controlled by one of the minority owners of Channel 19 News. And, oh, yeah, Sam Donaldson got arrested for DUI because he's trying to gain the sexual favors of Diane Sawyer by drinking as much as she does.
Well, Phil, if you don't like the news, don't read it.
It's not that I don't like it. It's the way it gets interpreted around here. Miss USA crown, Miss Universe 2012. We'll have that story and more when we come back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just get some rest and flush your system. Flush your system. Not your sister.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The film Zero Dark Thirty has been called, quote, grossly inaccurate by members of the United States Senate, individuals that were a part of the Intelligence Committee of the United States Senate. They feel that the film Zero Dark Thirty, the new Catherine Bigelow movie, which is a depiction of the events leading up to and taking place in the assassination in the killing of Osama bin Laden, they're saying that torture did not play a role in getting information as to locating bin Laden. But you know, I don't know whether what that means. You know,
well, it means that the information. What do you mean you don't know what it means?
I mean, in other words, did torture not extract information? Well, we know that, yes, it did. Did torture extract information that led to the killing of bin Laden? According to these senators, no, it did not. And even according to the screenwriter, this guy Mark Boal, I think.
B-O-A-L, Boal, Boal.
Yeah, that's the French.
Oh, that's the French, huh?
Well, Phil, you don't know how to pronounce his name, do you?
No, but I dare say I'm afraid of turning it over to you for what it's going to turn into. How do I know I'm not going to hear tomorrow the guy's name is Boal?
B-O-A-L, Boal. It would be B-O-W-L. Wow.
Yeah, that's how you spell Boal. What an idiot.
Don't call me an idiot. When it comes to names, it may sound like Boal and not be Boal.
What about B-O-W-E-L?
That's Bowel. That's Bowel.
Don't go down that road, Bowel, Robert. We're going to have to hear about Margaret's.
Oh, my God, you really, you know what's wrong with you, Phil? The fact is that real life and just the natural bodily functions scare you. My God, I'd hate to see what you're like in bed.
Yeah, well, you know what? Good thing you'll never find out.
What's that supposed to mean?
I think it means that he'd rather cut it off, he'd rather self-mutilate than...
Why, you filthy...
Hey, hey, no more slugging, I told you.
I don't care, I can take it.
Really?
Yeah! That stung.
Well, you said you wanted it.
Woo! Oh, man, I feel that. I'm going to feel that tomorrow.
All right. So anyway, this film is under attack by these guys in the United States Senate saying, you know, torture didn't lead to information that led to bin Laden. Now, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded, and we know that we got information from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed somehow. I don't know whether they sat down and had tea with him or they offered him a tipperillo or whatever the hell they did. But that guy gave it up big time. We know this because as soon as they got his fat ass into custody, all kinds of dominoes started to fall. We'll see. I will say this. If it's a bad way of getting information, it's a bad way of getting information. And that's all there is to it. But I'll tell you this. My personal opinion is as follows. If they're not POWs, and that is a very specifically defined individual, a prisoner of war must be at least a uniformed soldier, part of a unit with a command structure, and they are marching under a specific entity's flag, and that's all articulated in the Geneva Conventions. Whether or not you're a signatory to the Geneva Conventions, I don't think should matter. I think if at least you're making the effort to present yourself as a soldier in uniform, marching in any kind of unit or a part of any kind of unit with a command structure and a flag of allegiance to some country or entity, then you should be treated as a POW. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't, even if you're not a signatory to the conventions. Now, if you are not a signatory to the conventions, and on top of everything else, you are waging an armed battle or armed attacks against a country that is, and you have no uniform, you have no real allegiance to any country, you certainly have no allegiance to any entity that is within the bounds of law. Al-Qaeda, a criminal organization with individuals at the leadership level under indictment for murder. Osama bin Laden's ass was indicted by the FBI before 9/11. And these guys should be treated like POWs? Sorry.
Oh, so you're saying they ought to be tortured?
I didn't say that. I'm just telling you, they don't get the treat. I'm sorry. And, you know, there's a lot of people who want this to be Disneyland. Well, you know, it's only right. What do you mean it's only right? What does that mean, it's only right? Does it mean it's only right that I treat a piece of garbage like that really well so that other people are getting killed because this guy is, you know, folks, acting like Pollyanna is not necessarily fantastic. Pollyanna, in some instances, is worse than Hitler, man. In fact, I'd rather sit down and have a cigar and look at the view there from the Berchtesgaden with Hitler than have anything to do with a little girl with pigtails and knee socks. Thank you.
Yeah! Yeah!
Oh, you'd say something like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that was perfect, Mr. Henry. Agree with everything he said.
You'd say something like that, wouldn't you? Just to sort of stir people up, to stir up a platehead like this.
Don't call him a platehead.
I'd rather be a platehead than have butt implants. And
I don't have... Well, you lousy crawling...
Hey, don't reach over me to try to hit him.
I don't have butt implants, say it.
You don't have butt implants?
But!
She does... How do I know you don't have butt implants?
Then get my husband, please.
No, do not do that.
Get my husband on the phone.
Margaret, I'm willing to believe you don't have butt implants. Can we just please move on without having to get Frank in here? It's going to turn into a cluster you-know-what.
Then you do acknowledge that you do believe that I don't have butt implants.
Yes, I do.
But you're only saying that.
No, I'm not only saying that. Shut up, bud.
Well, I mean, if you waterboarded me and then I said, yes, she does have butt implant, then what would you say about waterboarding?
Then I'd say that it's inaccurate, that it only gets out lies. Then it would prove my point.
What do you mean if you're waterboarded?
If I got waterboarded and they go, does Margaret Gray have butt implants? Does she or does she not? Blah, 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 you know, and they're... How do they do it?
Yeah, they pour the water on your face, man, like you're going to drown.
Yeah, and I go, yes, she does. She has butt implants. You're trying to tell me that I'd lie on account of the waterboard.
No, you'd be telling the truth.
But I'd think it was the truth that she has butt implants. And I'd say, no, she...
You're an idiot. You know that? You're just an idiot, man. You're just an idiot, that's all. There's nothing wrong with you other than the fact that you're a lazy thinker and you're stupid. Okay. And you want to just cause problems where problems don't exist.
Well.
Yeah, well, nothing. Keep your yap shut. If they waterboarded me. All right, so on we move. So anyway, we're going to talk about that this hour, among other things. Now, I wanted to let you guys know, speaking of mind control and all this other nonsense, I had a nutty experience today. And... I'll tell you something. You guys know that I've dropped 80 pounds. Yeah. Okay, great. I don't want to bore you. By the way, I had a dream last night that I stepped on a scale and I was 198 pounds. And the dream was so real, I thought, wow, how did I lose all, like, that? So...
Well, it might be telling the future.
Well, it is telling the future because I am going to hit 200. But here's the thing that happened. I woke up this evening. Now, right now, ladies and gentlemen, as I speak to you, it's 11:50. It's close to 11:15 Pacific, so it's 2:15 in the morning on the East Coast. I woke up earlier this evening on the evening of Tuesday. Is this, what the hell is this? Wednesday, at 7:15. When I got out of bed, I noticed it was dark. And,
Bob Dyer's Zero Dark 30.
Would you be quiet? Zero Dark 30?
Yeah, that's the name of the movie that you're talking about.
Fine. It was 7:15 and it was dark outside, and I noticed that it was dark outside, and I thought, boy, it sure is dark for 7:15 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I had slept through this entire day today thinking that I was getting up and it was bright and early on a Thursday morning, tomorrow morning, and in point of fact, it was this evening. I'd slept through the whole day. Now, what happened, and the reason why this is significant, is the following thing. You know, I run on a lot of nervous energy. I have insomnia, but also the last probably, the last several months have been packed with all kinds of things. And then on top of that, you have the usual business of the day. And so I've been running on all this energy. And when the holidays hit and I hit my weight of 210 pounds, I said, okay, I'm going to relax off this diet and have the one thing that I've been missing for the last seven months. I'm going to eat me some candy.
You wanted all that chocolate.
I'm a huge chocolate fan. Hershey's, all that jazz, man. Reese's.
Yeah, you said on a Reese's peanut butter.
That's right, bud. That's what I said. So, I did that at Halloween, I did that on Thanksgiving, and I did it a little bit this past weekend. Now, the introduction of that much sugar into a system that has been running on just real lean material, man. I mean, I've had low-cal meat and vegetables and fruit and protein powder, and, dude, that's what I've been living on, you know, for all of these months since March. To all of a sudden introduce all that sugar, it just sends a biochemical shock through the system that's insane. Not only does the sugar do that, but then getting off of it, weaning yourself away from it, which I did in the weeks after Thanksgiving leading up the weeks after Halloween leading up to Thanksgiving. And so I was kind of on this bungee cord of, you know, extremes. And I'm theorizing now, but when I went to bed last night, and I usually hit the sack about 4 a.m., I thought, okay, I'm going to get up because I have to do this and this. We have a podcast to do. We have the Milwaukee Lion game and this and that and mail and email. And I've got some financials I have to take care of because it's coming up on the end of the year. I wake up at 7:15 having blasted through all of that.
And you didn't even know where you were.
I knew where I was.
But you didn't know what day it was.
I didn't know what day it was. I didn't know what day it was. I didn't know what time it was. I thought it was the morning. It was dark. And, of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, I know what it is. It's fog, man, because we're down at the El Pacifico. There must be fog that's blocking out the sun. Sure. What was I thinking, man? Fog, no fog made blacks out the sun like that.
Unless it was, Bob, you must have thought it was the Mayan thing.
No, I never thought one time about the Mayans. Not once did I think it was the end of the world. Not once, which shows you what a logical and sober individual I am.
Well, God help you if it does happen.
God help me if it does happen. Oh, today's the 20th, right?
Yes, and tomorrow is the 21st. At midnight, Phil.
Oh, would you shut up? It's already the 21st back east. Have you been hearing anything?
No, and maybe that's significant.
We'll call up some of your people back east to make sure it's still there. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll continue with this, minus the Mayan doomsday stuff. I'd totally forgotten about the Mayan doomsday thing. Maybe that was my own personal version.
Yeah, you had like a Mayan moment, you know.
Yeah, I had a Mayan moment. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, this is Don Berman. I'm feeling much better. I think...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Here with me, Robert Dickman, Bud Dickman, rather.
I'm Robert Leonard.
Robert Leonard, yes. and Bud Dickman and Margaret Gray. Now, I was telling you about my Mayan moment, you know, so I wake up and it's today. And that's, you know, it happens to us. It generally happens to us when we're just breaking our ass. We're burning a candle at both ends, whatever you want to say. Or in my instance, it wasn't so much all this work that I was doing. It was the fact that I was really jacking my sleep cycle up with all that damn candy, you know.
Well, I mean, are you a believer then in the holistic way of Dean Wheeler?
I am not a believer in Dean Wheeler's holistic way. No, I am not, because I believe that Dean is a little cuckoo, especially since his wife started that singing career.
Well, forget about his wife's the singing. That's not going to go anywhere. I'm talking about Dean Wheeler and the fact that he has his holistic...
Yeah, he has the holistic center. I think some of that stuff is absolutely right on. I do. I believe that the body and so forth, I think all of that is extremely important, that the body is a biochemical minefield in a lot of ways. Everybody's different. We're all different. Some of us can drink. Some of us can't. If that isn't an example of what is different, I don't know what is. Why is it, for instance, I was talking to Dan about this, I can drink tequila. And there are people that drink tequila and they turn into raving lunatics, but they're not necessarily alcoholics.
What are you talking about?
I'll say it again.
I know what you mean. They drink and then they turn into wild Indians and everything.
Not about Indian, you dumbass.
Yeah, it is. They're called dipsomaniacs.
Now, hold on for a minute, will you? Dipsomaniacs. Native people are biochemically different in many ways from Europeans, Native American, North American natives, what do you want to call the our Indian tribes, Indian people. They are biochemically different because of diet, because of environment. There's all kinds of things that shape the human response and physiology to different things. Europeans, for our part, there are things that we cannot tolerate. When I say us, I mean people of European descent.
But Bud, what is he? What descent are you, man?
I'm descended from what do you mean, what am I descended from?
We were asking, what group of primates?
What's that?
Never mind, okay?
Monkey, man.
Monkey? You're racist.
Oh, would you shut up with the racism? I'm going to start batting some people around here.
I'm white and you're white.
So he can't be a member of the primate family, right?
Well, of course not.
Ha ha ha. But I know one guy that's a member of the primate family. Hey, get...
I'm going to kick ass here in a minute.
I'll kill you, man. You know I will. You know I'll kill you.
Yeah? You're going to have to marshal a 1st Division of the United States Marine Corps to do it.
I don't know. I don't need no Marine Corps. You need a Marine Corps.
Easy. You two guys, I happen to know you guys are friends, and for you to keep baiting him racially like that...
Everybody's baiting me racially. They said I was a primate.
All right, because you're the guy that starts a lot of this stuff. Why you do that, I understand. You got a black girlfriend, Vivianne. You're going to get married, right?
Yeah.
Why? What is wrong with you, man? Do you talk to her like that?
No.
Why not?
Because she'd rip it off. She'd rip it off and mail it to his mother. That's why.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Do you talk to her family like that?
Of course not.
Well, then what is wrong with you, you idiot? When are you getting married?
We're getting married in June, and I asked everybody to be there.
Well, I may not be there.
Why not?
Because I may not want to be at a wedding of a guy that talks the way you do.
Yeah, I might not either.
You said you would.
Oh, quit your bawling before I smack you. Just butch up a little bit, huh? And quit talking some of that stuff you talk. I don't like it. You kick off a lot of this stuff, man. You know you do. Jesus.
Oh, go wipe your eyes, will you?
What a baby, man. What the hell? She's going to marry a guy like that? Anyway,
Ha ha, I was only kidding.
I'm going to kick your ass. So, back here on the planet Earth, speaking of the Mayan apocalypse and all that jazz, the beautiful thing about, as I've said many times, and people don't want to listen to me, man, but the great thing about history is it is the absolute roadmap. It tells us where we've been, and it tells us where we are going. And guess what happened 102 years ago, as Halley's Comet was approaching. Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to tell me people started freaking out.
Oh, of course they did. We're human beings, aren't we? And guess what was supposed to happen? The end of the world. In 1910, the Earth was due to pass through the tail of Halley's Comet, sparking a public panic that apocalypse was coming. In case you haven't heard, by the way, folks, the world is supposed to end on Friday the 21st. That's the date that the Mayan long count calendar reads something, I don't know what it is. This is somehow snowballed into a full-blown doomsday prophecy with the apocalypse involving, against all verifiable evidence, black holes, solar flares, previously unknown planets, and comets targeting Earth. Now, most of this stuff is created by people that love to see panic. Most of it's created by people that want to sell survival gear. And a lot of it is created by people that actually do far, far, far too much reading into the occult and have way too much time on their hands. People who have a tradition of sitting in rooms with books thinking that that's a really noble thing to do, to read old manuscripts and to slowly let your mind rot. And they think that's noble and they're helping the world. And we sort of have that character in fiction, don't we? We have the character of the man working alone in a laboratory to save humankind. A man working alone in a library to come up with some answer that will save humankind. What we never really factor into any of that is the guy working alone in the laboratory, the guy working alone in his library is more likely to be a complete and utter mental deficient. I mean, he's lost it. All we need to do these days is look at the Internet.
What's that mean?
You got all kinds of jackasses sitting and reading into things on the Internet and letting everyone know on message boards what they've found out, which is nothing. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show and more on the Halley's Comet scare of 1910. The planet was going to be poisoned, among other things, by the tail of Halley's Comet. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Dean Wheeler is going to join us here in a moment. Dean from the Northern California, Holistic Center, and we'll talk about a number of things. The biology of the human species. Talking about my sleep weirdness and the fact that I, you know, was eating sugar. But we also want to talk to Dean here about some of these doomsday prophecies and this article that we were trying to get to here. How it is that the human race deals with these ridiculous notions of doomsday and the end of the world. Halley's Comet was supposedly going to poison the planet Earth. That was the nonsense that was being written by a great many of these people who, predicted the end of the world because of this comet passing by. Halley's Comet had not been... seen, and certainly had not been discussed for quite some time. So as the Earth was about to approach the tail of Halley's Comet in 1910, back in an age when telescopes were unable to track the comet around its 76-year orbit, the search for its return was reported by newspapers. The anticipation of a spectacular view as a result of the comet's calculated close passage to Earth turned to concern when astronomers realized that the Earth would pass through the comet's 25 million kilometer long tail. Then things got worse, much worse. I'm reading from a article in the New York Times. The technique of spectroscopy.
Oh boy, let me see it. Spectrotakapaka.
Well, whatever. The technique of spectroscopy. Why am I getting that?
Because you don't know how to say it good.
in any event, in which light is analyzed to show the composition of celestial objects, was brought to bear on Halley's Comet. And on the 7th of February, 1910, the Yerkes Observatory announced the discovery of cyanogen, a deadly poison in the comet's tail. Cyanogen. The New York Times reported that the French astronomer and author Camille Flammarion believed that, I'm not even pronouncing it right anymore, I don't care, I just want to get the, believed that the cyanogen would impregnate the atmosphere and possibly snuff out all life on the planet. 1910. Now today we look back and we laugh, but what are we doing right now with this Mayan apocalypse thing? We're not panicking, but there are just enough people believing this garbage that they're going out and buying shelters. And, you know, it's reinforced by people that have that religious fever, what I call religious fever, which is not just belief in God or belief in the Bible. It's their perspective is warped. They're now in a sort of delirium. And what they do is they say, ah, yes, Mayan doomsday. Well, they laughed at Noah, didn't they? That's when you really start to get crazy. That's when you really, really need help, when you start thinking that you're Noah and everybody else is nuts. See, the definition of insanity is you think you're okay, you think everybody else is crazy. That's, you know, there's a nut out when that's what the guy thinks.
There's a nut out tonight.
That's right.
Yeah, very bright nut. What are you rubbing? Don't do that, bud, okay?
I just got to thinking.
Anyway, so they thought that this would snuff out life on the planet. In a somewhat misguided attempt to allay fears, the director of the Cambridge Observatory, Sir Robert S. Ball, quoted English astronomer doyen Sir John Herschel as saying that the whole comet can be squeezed into a suitcase. Herschel was probably seeking to emphasize the ephemeral nature of the comet's gaseous tail. Nevertheless, it produced a tongue-in-cheek rejoinder in the New York Times that he was clearly talking nonsense because he had failed to state who would do the packing. Very funny. So the entire comet can be put into a suitcase. What he meant was the entire gas body of the comet could be put into a suitcase. That which constitutes the gaseous portion of the physical nature of Halley's Comet could be put into a suitcase. Meaning, whatever this gas is, it isn't concentrated enough to hurt anybody on Earth. Well, that was taken by the New York Times and said, who would do the packing? Experience teaches that mighty little can be packed in a suitcase by any man. It takes a woman to pack one properly, said the paper. The lighthearted piece concluded that it would be better to leave the comet where it is in order for everyone to feel safer. Well, it didn't work. Concern among the public grew in the weeks leading to the Earth's 19th of May passage through the comet's tail. Charlatans sold comet pills that would supposedly protect against the effects of the poison. I'll bet you anything. I got money today that says, had there, those guys been around when Hale Bopp came by. Remember Hale Bopp?
Yeah, that's the one where the people cut off their genitals.
Who?
He's talking about that stupid Heaven's Gate.
What do you mean, Heaven's Gate? Well, what was the one we were talking about, Dan? The one that you saw up there in Oregon and that I saw? Hale Bopp, yeah. I'll bet you anything, if there was a guy around the time of Hale Bopp, back, what was it, 1999, 1998? A guy around the time of Hale Bopp selling comet pills, I'll bet you money that he would do a brisk business.
So you're saying that the people, basically our generation of people, were as, excuse me for using the word, were as gloidified or...
Yeah, they were gloid.
What gloidified?
We're idiots.
I'm saying that there are just enough idiots to keep a guy, nowadays, there's just enough idiots alive to keep a guy selling comet pills flush for a few months. I'm saying that guy would make a brisk business.
Yeah, I believe that.
He'd do a brisk business. Look at these jackballs that are buying up things based on a calendar that nobody even knows how to read. No one even knows how to read it properly. I'm not saying that they don't know how to decipher the hieroglyphics or whatever it is, but they don't know what it means. And there are cats that are selling underground shelters. They're selling survival equipment. I'm telling you, it is a beautiful thing. That's why I regret it violently that I didn't actually... I don't know why I'm not smart. See, I'm just an idiot, you know.
Well, without saying anything I might regret, why do you think you're an idiot?
Because if I had any real brains, that's what I would have done. I would have said, oh, this is beautiful, man. I'm going to start selling survival equipment.
Yeah, but you'd be taking advantage of people.
So what if I'm taking advantage of people? What do you mean taking advantage of? You think I'm the guy that's going to go out there? This is something that I've learned in recent years. See, that's the old Phil. That's the guy that would go out there and say, people, my people, you know. Like Jim Jones, you know. Time to get gone, children. No, I would be the guy that would go out there and say, don't you understand? You're being fooled, you schmucks. Don't do it. Because that guy that we've seen throughout history, he never gets rewarded. No one ever gives a damn about him. That guy winds up getting trampled.
What are you talking about? People, they say he's good.
I think that individual, yes, is an individual that we long honor.
Really? Is that right?
Yes.
Why?
What happened to John the Baptist?
Oh.
What happened to him?
They stuck his head on a platter. That's what happened to him. Okay?
Yeah, but John the Baptist, he wasn't saying anything bad's coming. He's saying something good's coming.
What difference does it make with the head cut off? That's a reference to the other night in the Lemmings bit. Now then.
Very good.
Thanks. So, I would have been that guy. But nowadays, now that I know better, I would have said, wow, Hail Bop's coming, or the Mayan apocalypse is coming. You guys come to Phil's Supplies right here. We just opened up here. You know, I can afford the rent. You get it there someplace where there's a lot of people just freaking out, somewhere rural. I'm sorry, but you know.
I can see that. Phil's Supplies, what do you have? Like just Farmer in the Dell? Someone you have American Gothic? I mean, what does it look like? Where is it? What kind of lease? Let's talk turkey.
Oh, yeah. So what, do you want a piece of the business?
I wouldn't mind. Did I sweep up?
In any event. So I'd have Phil's Supplies. You can come in. Well, yeah. And everybody that would come in freaked out about the Mayan doomsday, I'd say, yes, Mrs. Brown, you never can tell. Well, you know, Phil, I don't really go in for that sort of thing, but I thought I'd get my bottled water just in case, and you're always very kind. Oh, yes, ma'am.
So you'd take advantage of the old ladies, huh?
That's exactly what I would have done. Exactly. You want to know why? Because there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? They don't need it. It's not like it's Hurricane Andrew or Katrina or any natural disaster. It's not like I'm, jacking the price on something that's vitally needed by people. I'm taking advantage of idiots. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's something very cruel about it.
Oh, get out of here with that cruel. Cruel is when you jack the price on plywood and drinking water when there's a hurricane, when there's a natural disaster. That's cruel. Not only cruel, it's illegal. But it is not cruel to say to some dimbulb, hey, the Mayan apocalypse is coming. Do you have your bomb shelter yet? No, I don't. Well, come on over here and buy mine, man. This thing's beautiful. Look at this, huh?
And what if... Well,
No. Don't give me the what if. Because if the what if happens, I'm dead anyway, and I'm cooking in hell, and you can all be happy. You know.
You know as well as I do, Phil, that that's very, very... That is not much comfort, because I won't be in hell to watch you burn. You see, we talk about these people that we want to see cook in hell, but it's not satisfying. It doesn't get the job done.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I want to be in hell, and I want to see that guy roasted on a spit.
Well, unfortunately, it's...
You can commit suicide and go to hell and then see it.
How am I going to get back?
Well?
No, I see the point.
Can't believe you people, man.
What are you talking about?
How is it I'm going to get to hell to watch a guy cooking on a spit? Hey, let's just comfort ourselves with this. The guy ain't around anymore. And when it comes to a guy like Phil Hendry, if I'm selling supplies for whatever the hell it is, you know, I'm selling supplies for whatever the hell it is, man. I don't think I should be the guy that gets, you know, I don't think I should be the guy that is indicted for cruelty because I'm selling a bomb shelter or bottled water or comet pills to a jackass. Give me a break. All right, 877-876-7445. General Galen Shaw will be joining us to talk a little bit more about this idea of survival. What is a survivalist? What should we be surviving? Who should we be laughing at? Who should we be clapping on the back as a harbinger of good tidings, or at least a fair warning? Was John the Baptist's head really served al dente? Or, you know, all that stuff. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth al dente was the guy that drove...
The Phil Hendry Show.
That was A.J. Collins.
No, al dente drove O.J.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Show.
Dean Wheeler on the line with us here from Northern California. Dean, I know that you're right now in San Francisco, I think, at the Clayton Inn, right?
We are, Phil, and MOL is on stage right now. But I'm very, very happy to talk with you because I haven't had an opportunity to congratulate you on so many different projects that you have going on.
Thank you, Dean. I know I want to talk with you about your views on the Mayan apocalypse and doomsday, but I just saw an article here that makes me sick to my stomach. And it's an article, and I don't know why it is in our country we have any resistance to fighting the Taliban, why the war in Afghanistan to some people is a meaningless war. The Taliban just killed six people in a province, I believe, of Pakistan because they are polio workers. They work to immunize, to inoculate people against polio. It is a longstanding belief among many of the corrupt and criminal Muslim imams and terrorists in that part of the world, that polio workers are actually, they don't believe this, but they're telling the poor people there that in being injected with the polio vaccine, you're actually, it's actually trying to kill Muslims. In other words, they're playing on the fears and the paranoias of the people there. This is what and they went in, Taliban gunmen went in to a vaccination center and murdered people that were giving out the polio vaccine. This is insanity. This is a bunch of people that should be exterminated from the face of the earth. They helped kill 3,000 Americans on 9/11 by sheltering Al-Qaeda. And so that right there gives us a personal fight. It gives us a personal stake in the fight. I don't give a damn what anybody says. That should give us a personal stake in the fight and what happens to Afghanistan. And now they're over there murdering World Health Organization people, UNICEF people, whoever, who are trying to vaccinate people in a region of the world, the last region of the world, folks, where polio still exists, where it still exists, where they do have cases of polio. India, Pakistan, these parts of the world, and those individuals are... Yeah, thank you for cutting that off, because I'll get to Dean here in a minute. And these individuals are... These Taliban are targeting people that are trying to immunize people against polio, murdering them, and telling the local people, no, they're just injecting you with a poison that's going to kill and sterilize the men and kill off the ability of the women to have babies, and we won't have any more Muslims. This is what the West is doing. This is the Taliban. If this is an evil, there is nothing on this earth that's evil. They represent the 15th century. They represent everything that's bad about religion. They represent everything that's bad about the human race. They're stupid. They're murderous. They're the worst kind of stupid. They think they're geniuses. They think that they're God's gift to the planet. They hate women. They hate culture. They hate the hell out of history and other religions. Look at what they did to the Buddhist monuments, ancient Buddhist monuments in Afghanistan, destroyed antiquities that was history's gift to the present generation. And we learned something about the travels of Buddhists as well as Muslims during that period. They destroyed that. That's the kind of destructive, disgusting, despicable bastards they are. And we're sitting here, we don't want to fight them. All right, let me get back here to Dean Wheeler. Dean, what are you shaking your head for, Margaret?
This is exactly what you said you weren't going to do, and now you're being political again. And you saw that man's comment on your Facebook page. He said he was glad to be listening to you again because you were no longer talking about George Bush.
That ass said that, not because he was listening to the show, because he wanted to slam me. Dean?
Well, Phil, I've got to agree with Margaret. Hold on for a minute. Emerald's on stage right now. I have to agree with Margaret, though, that the little speech you just gave there has probably murdered, and I mean murdered in the spiritual, in the entertainment sense, murdered and carved up far more people than the Taliban ever could. And so how does that make you feel? Did you get me what he's having? What is that?
That's Knob Creek.
Give me a Knob Creek and water. A water back. Phil,
are we going to be listening to you tonight, or
Is it what?
Am I listening to your wife again?
Well, that's very rude.
Yeah, that was extremely rude. Why?
I want to listen to your wife, but I want to talk to you. Which am I doing?
You're talking to me, except I've got to keep an eye on this band. I told you. Wait, are you listening to that?
I'm listening to your wife singing.
Yeah, no, but do you hear the horn? See the horn? What did I tell this guy?
Yeah, if that guy doesn't stop using.
What do you suspect?
Well, first, you don't know good horn playing. Did you hear that guy? If he isn't nodding off up there, even as he's trying to get his lips around that thing. And the last person I said that to, Phil, was my wife, Emeralda, when we were getting along. I said, you're nodding off.
Yeah.
As you're trying to get...
Never mind.
Well, I'm sorry. I know we're on the air. Phil, you are speaking like a right-winger. And you're talking all of this claptrap.
Oh, like, I want to get Galen Shaw in here, too, because we promised he is a survivalist.
Well, wait a second. What do you mean, Galen Shaw? I'm talking. Margaret's here.
He happens to have a decidedly different opinion from you guys, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, I'm going to be... I'll stay on the line with you.
Fine.
But I'm also going to be listening to Emeralda, if it's all right.
You can listen to Emeralda, but if I have a question...
Oh, that horn player. I'm going to gut him. I'm going to gut him like a steer.
You know, maybe you want to get off the line and deal with the horn player once and for all.
No, he's a terrific guy, and he scores.
He scores.
He scores, Emeralda. I can't tell you right now.
Emeralda is using some medications that her doctor has stopped prescribing, but she needs them.
And so the horn player knows where to get it. Let's get... Talk about disgusted.
Oh, get off your high horse, Phil. I'm a husband and a father just trying to get by.
Let's get General Galen Shaw. General Shaw, I'm sorry to belch in your ear. How are you doing?
Well, Phil, I've been better. I'm listening to this nonsense on your program here from this man who thinks that drug pushing is... I don't think anything of the sort, General. I'm simply saying I have a wife that I love, and she has to get on a bandstand every night, and she's got to put her best foot forward, and I got to make sure that when she puts her best foot forward, she doesn't fall into the first row of tables. I heard what you said, sir, and I can hear your wife singing. She sounds she sounds good, and I don't think she needs you and that horn player pushing whatever drug she's taking. It sounds like Percocet, but it's not my place. As a matter of fact, it is. And
all right, well, thank you very much. General Shaw, how are you?
And who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry, the host of the show.
Oh, Phil, yes. I'm doing very well.
All right. I want to ask you about the doomsday situation, the Mayans, and the survivalist thing. What do you recommend to people? I know that you're close to the survivalist community. You've been close to a great many in the militia movement. They trust you. What are you telling them?
Well, Phil, I can tell you that the last one that I spoke to was J.T. Kirkpatrick, who was a member of the Jericho Group. And as you know, they tunneled under a silver mountain in Nevada, and it is there that they made their stand. Until they got hungry and they came out 2 weeks later, they were reported at a Taco Bell or Slim Jim's or so. Are we...
We've got to take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Back to the size of Texas.
Hold on for a minute. I was just talking to Dan about this. Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talking. Oh, I thought I wasn't going to do that anymore.
That's what you said.
All right. Anyway, truth is our bitch. Now, Bud, what was your question?
This asteroid that you was talking to Dan about, what if it's the size of Texas?
Now, by the way, and I'll answer your question, we do have on the line Dean Wheeler, who is with his wife, Emeralda. They are at Gavin's Club, I think, in San Francisco. We also have with us as well General Galen Shaw, who is going to be speaking to us from his home in Arizona. And General Shaw, we don't yet have on the line. Let me get Dean. Dean?
Hi, Phil, yeah.
Okay, so in any event... Let's get off all this stuff about the Taliban and get off all this nonsense that I was talking about these other issues having to do with Doomsday, you have a very specific sense of Doomsday and Mayan Doomsday and that kind of thing?
Well, I do. I think that we have to respect the ancient religions because they have led the way. Hold on for a minute. Was she whispering again?
Are you? Do you need to get back to what your wife's doing?
No, I don't. You always ask me that, and I always tell you, I'm fine. But understand, please, that while I am needed by other radio stations to comment on holistic health issues as well as metaphysical issues, I also have a wife that is embarking on a singing career, and I simply must oversee every aspect of that.
And you really need to, huh?
If you're going to start talking to me yet again, Phil, about how I'm a controlling and jealous guy...
Well, you've been going on about this horn player for a long time.
The horn player gets her, I told you, what he does for her.
General Galen Shaw...
Whoa, hold on. Did you... What are you, just ignoring me like I'm a freak? Like I'm... Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks, freak.
No, I heard what you said. I think the horn player, if he's scoring her pills, you got problems.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Oh, God, Phil.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm arrested.
Well, you've been the guy that's been talking about how he's the guy that scores.
Phil, I'll handle it, Dean.
Would you please?
First of all, he said she's the one that gives him the pill. So he didn't say it out loud.
Will you get out of here with whispering it? Don't tell me that I'm causing you problems, man. You cause yourself problems. General Galen Shaw is on the line.
Well, you know something? I've got to get up front because they are slapping her on the back and congratulating her on a great set, and I need to be a part of that. And
I know you want to tell her she did a good job.
No, I want to be up there getting congratulated, too. So look at this. I'm back here like I'm a loser talking to you on your little radio show. I got a wife that's about to bust out big. She's about to be the next she's not going to be fat like her, but Adele. And
okay, fine. Go ahead and...
I'll be right back. In fact, I don't have to be right. I've got the phone with me. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. I'm going up to my wife.
All right. General Galen Shaw, sir, how are you?
Hello, Phil.
All right, sir, you did talk to J.D. Hardwick, who is a member of what...
J.D. Hardwick and his brother Colin were both members of the Jericho Group, which was a group of people. And thank you for dropping that jazz club out of my ear.
Hold on. What happened to Dean?
I got to get him back. Apparently he hung up because he was introducing his wife to record executives.
Oh, isn't that great? Well, would you get him back on?
Yes, and I understand the need to speak to that man, I guess. I don't know. It sounds very, very wrong to me, but if you can keep the jazz club to a minimum, because I can hear all kinds of profanity, and, well, there it is again.
Can we turn that down?
Hi, Phil, I'm back. I'm sorry, but I had to hang up on you. And I respect you and I admire you, but your phone number was very visible on my screen, and a lot of people recognize that as your show, and they think I'm a little small time for that, and so I did hang up.
I understand.
All right, so, oh, hold on. She's singing again. May I continue?
Go ahead, General.
First of all, wait, hold on just. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby, that's exactly how I taught you. You're just like an angel. Yeah. May I speak, Mr. Hendry?
Yes, you may.
Shut up. Don't you tell me to shut up. Hold on, I'm sorry, Jen. Do, 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 do. Come on, you gotta emphasize that note. Yeah, there you go. Just like you're throwing it up. Just like I taught you, baby.
You want to shut your mouth in front of us to the show?
Why don't you blow it at Mr. Henry, I'm going to have to decline your invitation.
I'm sorry.
Wait, hold on. Oh, that horn player. I hate that guy's guts. Listen to that. Yeah, that's it. Why don't we just go ahead and put an amplifier on that guy and really destroy every... thank you and good night, Mr. Henry.
General Shaw.
No, I'm... No, don't do that. You got a perfect body, honey.
I want a perfect soul.
Yeah. That's how I taught her. That's my wife.
Shut your hole.
Blow it at you. Yeah, baby.
Okay, Dean, thanks a lot for nothing.
Who's this?
Phil Hendry, you're on my show?
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I've got... Yeah, I won't be able to do it tonight, but I can tell you...
So there's two guests gone, man, because of one jackass with a wife with a singing career.
And not much of a singer, I can tell you. I don't know the song she was singing, but I know what she was going for. And it was that sort of jazz lick, that jazz chop.
What do you mean, lick?
Not in the sense that you mean it, you freak. Oh, you freak. It was like this, if you know this. You know, it's sort of just kind of lazy. The shadow of yours. You see what I mean, Phil? So it's a very lazy thing.
I know that lazy thing has been coming into play lately. I've heard that with Brett Morrison on those Lion games.
Yeah, nobody understands what he's saying.
Well, I don't know anything about him or whatever game you're talking about. I'm saying that relaxed is best. Relax into it.
That's what she said.
Well, are you going to do something about it or am I?
Bud, get out of here.
Bud, Rick!
Get out of here!
Thank you.
Can I go see how he's doing?
Yeah, you go ahead. What is it with you? His babysitter or something? I don't know.
Those two, you'd be way better off.
Don't give me advice, okay?
Well,
just don't give me any advice, all right? So anyway, about the singing?
Well, I'm sure you have other things you need to do.
I do, but go ahead.
I was going to say, Phil, that the relaxed singing... Oh, he's back in here now.
Yeah, Robert talked me back into coming back in.
I told you to get out of here, didn't I?
Okay, I'm leaving.
Let me go.
Never mind.
Thank you. All right, getting back to where it was that we was when we was, world-famous Phil Henry Show, we were talking about Halley's Comet or, you know, or Bally's Comet, if you're in Vegas. Anyway.
Not funny.
Thank you. So the New York Times trying to make a joke out of Halley's Comet to try to offset the statements of this French astronomer that created such fear when he said that there was a certain... a gas that was in the tail of Halley's Comet that could prove fatal to every living thing, every Christian soul on Earth. Now, obviously, the public picked up on this and got frightened. The New York Times, in quoting another astronomer, basically made light, this other astronomer saying you could take all the gases that were in Halley's Comet and put them into a suitcase, meaning that there was not enough, there weren't that many parts per, you know, millimeter or parts per square inch or whatever that would harm a human being. So things got worse. In a somewhat misguided attempt to allay fears, the director of the Cambridge Observatory, Sir Robert S. Ball, quoted English astronomy doyen Sir John Herschel as saying that the whole comet could be squeezed into a suitcase, and then, you know, the New York Times did what they did. So along come the charlatans now, because people are thinking that they're going to be poisoned by the tail of Halley's Comet. And the charlatans are selling comet pills that would supposedly protect against the effects of the poison. Churches held all-night prayer vigils, and doomsayers wrote to the Royal Greenwich Observatory of England to say that the comet would cause massive tides across the Americas as the Pacific emptied itself into the Atlantic. As a rule of thumb, anything that invokes gravity or tides to end the world or trigger volcanoes and earthquakes is bound to be wrong because gravity is the weakest force of nature. Remember how a magnet picks up an iron tack? That's the small magnet defeating the entire Earth's gravity. Whatever that means.
I don't understand it either.
No, I don't either, and I don't do it. As dawn arrived on May 20th, 1910, the world had not ended. Oceans had not emptied. People had not choked. Though tragically, 16-year-old Amy Hopkins lost her life falling from a roof while watching the comet with friends. With doomsday averted for all but Amy's parents, stories of Halley's Comet disappeared from the papers and things carried on as normal. Now, a century later, the mania is back for the Mayan apocalypse. People around the world are stockpiling food and survival equipment. In China, doomsday rumor mongers are reportedly being arrested. It is a sad state of affairs that we've clearly not learned from the folly of 1910. This, by the way, is a piece written by a man named Stuart Clark, the author of The Sensorium of God, a novel featuring Edmund Halley. Although Halley's Comet did not trigger an apocalypse, it does have something important to teach us about prophecy. Edmund Halley astonished the 18th century world by predicting the return of the comet that now bears his name. He used Newton's law of gravity to achieve the feat. At a stroke, he proved that science could do what astrologers and prophets had always claimed but failed to achieve, to predict a future occurrence. The ability to predict future events is a powerful property of classical physics. It relies on measurement and the clockwork rigidity of certain physical laws. Without these, prediction is impossible, even within a science. So if someone claims to have made a prediction or even a prophecy, ask what exactly has been measured. What exactly has been calculated? What exactly has been predicted? If the answer to any of these is effectively not sure or nothing, or better yet, in the context of our society, think about it or it stands to reason, those are another couple of good ones, then disbelieve it. The Mayans made no prediction that the world will end on the 21st of 2012, but science tells us with some certainty that Halley's Comet will be back in 2061.
Hey.
You guys are standing at the door. All right, come on, sit down.
What do you mean, come on and sit down? He said that's what she said.
Don't worry about it. He'll behave. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We've lost our guests. That's okay. I got a lot more stuff to talk about, so stick around.
Truth is our bitch.
The Thanks
Phil
a lot,
Henry
Lips.
Show.
Lips, huh? So what are we talking about, Doomsday?
Well, you're talking about these asteroids, and you mentioned something on the show yesterday that I thought was interesting, and Ron Tarter and you got into an argument about that.
Yeah, and I'm just saying what I heard a paleontologist say.
Well, tell the people, because the people that are listening...
Well, all right, here. Asteroids hitting the Earth, this is another thing that we think. You know, we've got movies based on an asteroid hits the Earth and the Earth blows up and the climate changes and all life is dead and that's what happened to the dinosaurs, so why wouldn't it happen to us? Well, guess what? They're now believing that did not happen to the dinosaurs, that that's a load of horse dung, that an asteroid hitting the Earth, even a comet hitting the Earth, may change conditions in the short term. We know, for instance... we've had volcanic events that have created a change in weather conditions for a period of a year or two or three. There was a volcanic explosion in the 6th century in the South Pacific that created what they called a dry fog in Europe. It was a mist. It was dirt is what it was. It was particles of earth that was clouding the sun. And for long stretches of time in Europe... people would write about how the sun has been blotted from the sky. You know, one of the things about historical writing, if it is not completely accurate, it tends to get blown up over time. And you would swear to God that the world was coming to an end in the most graphic and horrific terms when you read the writings of these people. But in point of fact, the more specific reporting was, well, you know, it was dirty air and it was cloudy and it got cold and there were some small shifts in weather. Explosion of the volcano Krakatoa in the 19th century caused a similar kind of a particle pollution, if you will, in the Earth. You know, and so we've also had something called the Little Ice Age, which was a dramatic shift in weather conditions. Now, none of this is to comment on climate change. I don't do that. I'm talking about human psychology, which is far more interesting to me. I could give a sweet Jesus whether or not the bloody climate's changing. I don't know. If it is, let's do something about it. I'm sure that it is. I'm sure that the scientists know what they're talking about. I love people, but I love what motivates people even more. And it's embarrassing sometimes to watch the human race and the way it reacts to things. Most of the time, there is pride in what we do. I see the human race doing heroic things all the time, great things. But we do tend to act like real jackasses. And one of the ways that we act like a jackass is this whole doomsday thing. It could very well be that somebody once wrote, we want to share the death experience. We fear death. We all fear death. And every now and again, we want to share that experience with others. We want to see if everybody else is sort of checking it out the way we're checking it out. Death waits for us all, you know.
Death waits for no man. Yay.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Death waits for no man. Yay.
Yeah, that could be a radio show.
A bit like a movie. Death waits for no man. Yay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
What a couple of meatheads. What are you laughing at?
I haven't heard that term meathead in a long time.
Well, they are meatheads. Meat.
Yeah, the operable word being meat.
Are you going to do something about it, or do I have to?
Take it easy, Margaret. I'm not throwing anybody out. Shut up, bud.
You mean you're not going to punish him for saying meat and looking me up and down?
No, I'm not, because I don't think that's what he was doing. All right, now, here's the thing that I want to say. The dinosaurs, it is now said by paleontologists, a great many, many are coming around to this way of thinking, and plus the fossil record supports this. The dinosaurs didn't die from an asteroid, although there was an asteroid event. There was a large explosive event that happened around this certain period of time, some 65 million years ago. But we know now that the dinosaurs didn't all die out at once, that they died out over a period of millions of years, and that there were some dinosaurs left over while there were some other ones that were dead. This is what happened. We also know that the dinosaur fossil record lies below in the strata, and this is how they can tell certain events, by looking at the Earth's crust. And some of these core samples, as they're called, are taken in the Antarctic. Some are taken in the Arctic, where you can dig way down through the frozen Earth and find, I don't know, the Arctic, there is no Earth, it's just ice.
What about the Arctic Circle?
What about it?
There's no dirt?
There's no dirt up there, man.
Yeah, there is. What about Canada?
Yeah, other than Canada, okay? Canada's got dirt. The Arctic polar cap is a polar cap. It's ice.
So there's no... Are you kidding?
What about Santa... Well, I know Santa Claus doesn't exist, but you see, he would live on ice.
Yes, it's just ice. It's not a continent or an island of any kind. It's ice.
Well, what's Antarctica?
That's a continent. That's dirt. That's terra firma with a lot of frozen, you know, stuff. All right, so in any event, we now know that the fossil record lies below this strata of carbon, which represents the asteroid hitting the Earth. Meaning the dinosaurs died out in large measure before the asteroid ever hit.
What killed them?
What killed them? Very good question. And what killed them over a period of many millions of years? Very good question. Paleontologists now believe it was good old-fashioned, nothing more than disease. Because what had happened during that particular period, land bridges began to reemerge between continents. Perhaps there was, not the melting of ice. Perhaps there was a coming ice age that water was drying up, something. But nonetheless, the land bridge between North America and Asia and Africa and Europe existed. Now, we know that camels, along with other animals like mastodons, these large elephants, originated in North America, and they traveled across the land bridge into Asia.
What? You're nuts. Everyone knows that those animals come from Africa and places like that.
Yeah, out of Africa.
Not talking about out of Africa when it comes to freaking camels. Camels are out of North America. Okay?
What?
Look at, man, I'm not going to explain this stuff. The fact is that camels, a lot of animals evolved here in North America, and others evolved elsewhere. All right, so there's the music again. Why don't you guys let me explain stuff?
You better start spitting it out a little bit faster, Phil, because we all have questions.
Yeah, the out of Africa theory has been challenged by you.
Don't you know the out of Africa is where the people came from?
Yes, but not camels. I'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Where did I'd walk a mile for a camel come from? You got it. Bud's Diary.
You dirty, filthy woman.
You owed me one.
I'd walk a mile for a camel came from Bud's Diary.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You have a big scrunched up look on your face.
Yes, I do. I have a scrunched up look on my face because I have just transferred a whole bunch of money from one account into another account because it's tax time. I know you don't think it's tax time. It probably isn't tax time for you. It's coming up on the end of the year tax time for me. And I have my accountant, Mitch, who's he's a great guy, and he's a guy that doesn't let me get away with murder. Like, for instance, if I want to, say, steal the company funds and go to South America, he won't let me do that. He'll call the police.
What a backstabber.
I know, I know. You know, what are you going to do, man? And I thought the guy was a pal. But in point of fact, what I was doing was I was transferring money because in order to, I did something, I don't think I've ever really talked to you guys about this, but this year I purchased my company outright. I was a partner in the business and I bought it outright, which I was very happy to do, but it cost a lot of money. It even cost it cost so much money to do it that I had to liquefy, you know.
Now, what does that mean, talk about liquid?
That means that it's fluid. You've made it liquid. And I don't know anything about business, but it's...
You liquefy asset, meaning you turn funds into liquid. If it's just a stock or a bond, or if it's a retirement account or whatever it is, and it's just sitting there on paper, that's one thing. To make it actually liquid, meaning you can spend it. You turn it into money. Right,
Phil. You don't have to rub your fingers together and go "mani" like I'm Yaphet Kotto in Alien. I know what you mean.
Yaphet Kotto in Alien.
Yeah, that's when the robot said "no money."
Yes, you're treating me like, what do you think? You're the robot and I'm the mechanic. I think it's the other way around. What are you laughing at?
I was just thinking about being the mechanic and being the robot. I'd rather be the robot because the mechanic is the guy that had his... No, it wasn't the guy. That wasn't it.
No, the guy that got his guts blown up, he was a scientist.
Well, everybody died. What difference does it make?
Well, at least the robot died. Well, you're right. The robot got...
The robot got his head beat in by Sigourney Weaver. The other guy, the mechanics, they got eaten.
Yeah, they got ate up by the alien, that's for sure.
I don't know that the alien ate them. The alien destroyed them. The alien eviscerated them and ate their brain, but I don't know that, quote-unquote, the alien ate them.
Ate their brain?
Yeah, that's how the alien got him, on account of it shot the second level of jaw of teeth.
Yeah, the alien got two level of teeth, see?
Will you guys get out of here with this stuff? I don't want to talk about what the alien did or didn't do. The alien has two levels of teeth. I know it does. I've seen it 85 million times. What difference? What are we talking about? All I want to say is the following thing. That I had to transfer a whole... You are the idiots that are asking me about what's liquid.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I mean. And I'm not explaining it anymore. So I had to do that. I had to transfer a whole bunch of money just today into this account so we could get our taxes paid. Because I had to pay a hell of a lot of tax on that money that I took to purchase the company with. And I can see the emails now coming in from people who, far and wide, boy, your accountant must be a real idiot because here's all you have to do. Yeah, sure. Nothing against them. 99% of the mail that we get, 99% of the emails or messages, they're all wonderful people, all well-meaning folks, and oftentimes providing excellent advice and excellent input on certain things. But every now and again, you get the one guy, you know, let me tell you how my accountant did it. And then it'll say, sign so-and-so, Leavenworth Prison. And,
yeah, man, that's probably the guy. That's how the good accountant did him.
Are you serious?
Well, not literally. I mean, you know, but occasionally we get jail. I don't get any mail from jail from anybody telling me how to live. I'll give those guys that much credit, you know. Most of the time they'll say, hi, I'm in jail, so you know that... But, you know, I'm not going to give you any life advice. All right, so that's that about that. Now, senators say Zero Dark 30 is, quote, grossly inaccurate. Did we already reference this, Falderall?
You talked a little bit about it.
Well, the Osama bin Laden manhunt film Zero Dark 30 came under fire Wednesday from a bipartisan group of senators. They're complaining that Sony Pictures is suggesting that torture actually got information from individuals that led to Osama bin Laden's capture. Now, this is a letter to Studio Chief Mike Linton from Senator Dianne Feinstein, Senator Carl Levin, and Senator John McCain. Feinstein and Levin, both Democrats, McCain, a Republican. They wrote that the movie directed by Catherine Bigelow improperly establishes a connection between enhanced interrogations and key intelligence. Now, wait a minute. They say that, quote, we write to express our deep disappointment with the movie Zero Dark Thirty. We believe the film is grossly inaccurate and misleading, and it suggested that torture resulted in information that led to the location of bin Laden. All right. Now, that's their complaint. They're not saying in this complaint that torture did not lead to information. They're saying that torture did not lead to information leading to the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden. Now, these are all members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. They stop short of specifying what action they'd like from Sony. Usually what studios do in this case is they'll add something at the end of the film, not a disclaimer, but it's a part of a sort of an epilogue statement saying, and, you know, we did not mean to suggest this or that. A spokesman for one of the senators confirmed they were hoping the studio would respond, but the lawmakers were leaving it to the studio to determine what action it would take. The senator's letter comes on the heels of other complaints in Washington that the filmmakers may have had access to improper government sources. So there's two major complaints with this film, Zero Dark Thirty, that the Defense Department gave improper access to the filmmaker. That is absolutely vigorously denied by the Defense Department, that no improper access was given. It's always a nerve-wracking thing. And it's two things. You worry about America's security, the security of America's intelligence, and you also have to take into consideration a United States senator with an opportunity to make a headline or two. I'm sorry, I hate to be cynical, but, you know, I don't think I'm far off the mark. I'm not saying every time a senator opens his mouth, he's hoping for big headlines. I'm one of the few that happens to think that people who work in Washington ought to be commended, not constantly, continuously, ad nauseum, until I want to puke, you know, derided.
Yeah, you're starting to get in politics. That guy's going to be mad at you.
What guy?
The guy that wrote on your Facebook page that he finally liked the show because he didn't want to hear you going on about George Bush.
You know what I think about that guy?
Now, come on, man. Now, you said...
I know. No, I know. But you know what I think about that guy? Here's what I think. He never would have said that had I not openly said what I said.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that don't make no sense.
Wait a minute. When I came on the air and I said that I made a big mistake, and I believe I did make a big mistake, I made a huge mistake after 9/11 polluting the radio show with a lot of political opinion. I made a big mistake. I really did. Because the show was and is a humor show. It's a humor-driven show, okay? I'm not here to do anything other than try to get people through the day with a couple of laughs, even though we're on late at night and everyone's asleep. Now then.
Yeah, I'm right there, you know. See, that's bad.
Yeah, just don't get political, Phil.
I'm not getting political.
Well, you're talking about the day part and just...
In any event, I'm saying that I think it was a mistake, and I think I should have just stuck with the comedy, and that's why we didn't do anything about this thing that happened, but I'm not going to, you know, say the name of what happened, okay?
Newtown.
What do you think he just said?
What did I just say to you, you idiot? Don't say anything about it. So,
you're not talking to him, man. He's got a plate in his head.
Yeah, but I'm not retarded.
That's true, but I'm thinking you are.
I'm just saying, he's got a plate in his head.
Don't I know it? I know, even if I didn't know what happened to him, I'd figure he'd have a plate in his head. I would somehow have to just, it would occur to me, this guy's got to have a plate in his head the way he's talking, okay? I happen to know how he got the plate in his head, but it wouldn't, you know, I don't need to.
Yeah, that's great.
Phew. Yeah.
All right, so I'm not making any sense. Why don't you guys be quiet and let me finish what I'm saying, if you don't mind. Now then, so after 9/11, I blah, 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 and I said that on the air, and I made a point of saying it. If I hadn't made a point of saying that, I never would have gotten that comment from that guy.
Well, here's what I think. I think that that man felt empowered to say yay. Do you understand there's a difference, Phil? The difference is this. You are doing something, and people may want to take exception to it, but they don't want to be complainers. They like you, and they like what they like, and they don't want to bring you down, and so they keep their counsel. They don't say anything. Most of the time, they just stop listening to your rancid show. Now, I'm not saying your show is rancid now, and I'm not saying it was necessarily rancid then, but it was pretty rancid.
Oh, and by the way, one of the other things is, I got a lot of people saying this. I said to them, you know, all the great comedy that we did that's in our archives, and they're all, you know, talking about how the show was so fantastic then. And I say, well, if it was so fantastic then, how come, you know, we were basically still struggling for numbers and advertisers back then when you guys thought it was so freaking all this and a bag of chips, man? You know, I wouldn't be doing half the stuff I do with this radio show if I wasn't trying to find just the right mix of this, that, and something else. And then in the middle of all of that, I got to deal with what I got to deal with, the radio reality, you know, management. So then they come back with this. Well, maybe if you hadn't done the politics, but get out of here. See, so that's what I mean. Unless I say something, people don't think about it.
Well, what do you mean? They're saying now that the politics is what...
Our archives containing the gist of the radio show in its heyday, if you will. Not that the show doesn't have a heyday now, but the show is this show, it continues to evolve. And I frankly, I'm glad the show isn't the way it was then. I thank God for that. I'm glad the show is what it is today. Because I can go back and listen to those old tapes. And I remember how it was listening to the podcast in those days, listening to the tape recording of the show. If the hour was good, I was really happy. But I hated to listen to what was on the other side of either hour. I didn't want to hear myself rant. I didn't want to hear anything else. And sometimes when the character hours didn't go, I wanted to, I'm telling you, man, I wanted to just sit down in the corner of a, well, I better not say.
Of a library somewhere with the sheriff outside and blow your head off with a shotgun.
When I said I didn't want to say it, then why did you say it?
Because that's what you were going to say, because you were just talking about Columbine.
So you wanted to go out like the kids in Columbine. You are the most tasteless animal I think I've ever...
Did I say that?
Well, that's what they are assuming.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, but you know.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know. And besides, I'm kidding, okay? I'm not going to blow my brains out because of some freaking radio show. But nonetheless, when you articulate openly what you're thinking, how you feel the show could improve, how you feel the show could change, what you need to do, what you should do less of, what you should do more of, people hear that. And it goes processing through their own brains, and suddenly they think they're a genius. They got the idea, hey, we know what you should do, Phil. You should not do this, that. And this is a minority of people. Please understand. I'm not talking about, it's like one or two a month. We'll mention that.
But it gets your goat.
Doesn't get my goat. It just bugs me.
Yeah, it bugs you, and that's what that guy did today.
All right, well, whatever. So it bugs me. All right, Zero Dark Thirty is a film that has been made by Catherine Bigelow, who made the brilliant Hurt Locker. Oh, we got to take a break? We have to take a break.
God, Phil, you know what? I hope someday you are... I really hope someday you are put into a special pod that goes to hell on an hourly basis so that you'll never miss and you'll always be there.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You're turning my sound down and I'm...
We got little Ian Anderson on the line. Ian, how you doing?
Oh, hello, Mr. Ritz. Great pleasure to be on your program, sir.
Great to have you with us, pal. We got a little bit of a fuzzy line there. Margaret Gray's here.
Ian, I love you. How are you doing, darling?
I'm doing all right, Mr. Gray. It's doing all right.
All right. You were calling in about the whole... You heard Margaret telling me to go to hell, huh?
Right. Well...
I didn't tell you to go to hell. I said take the next... I wish there was an hourly shuttle to hell.
Right. Well, I was listening to what she said, and it reminded me of a conversation that you and I had one time about rotten hell.
Rotten hell.
Right. Well, you see, it's like this. If you say to someone you're rotten hell, well, what you're doing is you're actually using a smaller version, right? It's a smaller version of English insult, which was to say it to a person to rot, see? So
to just rot.
Right, just rot. Just drop into the dirt and rot, right? And like that. And that's what a lot of people in England or in my part of the world, you know, would say.
But people to know that Ian lives in the United States now. Where do you live?
I live in San Francisco. And I'm up here right now where I've got a job at San Francisco State.
You're working at San Francisco State University.
That's right.
And what are you still doing the maintenance job?
It's the maintenance janitorial.
Janitorial and maintenance. All right.
That's kind of bad bringing on an English guy and all I can be is a janitor.
Well, it's not like that, see? It's not like that, but...
No, but I mean, if Phil brings on an English guy, he goes, yeah, here's an English guy, and guess what? He's a janitor.
It's not like that. It's not like that.
Well, what do you call it, then?
I'm proud of myself, mate. I'm proud of myself. You're not proud of yourself?
I'm proud of myself. I get a beat on a radio.
Yeah, so what?
So? It doesn't mean nothing to me. It doesn't mean nothing to me at all. I'm proud of what I do. I don't have to compare myself to you. I'm not going to sit here and say Lily and Anderson's still not good or not just as good as you. Because I'm just as good as you any day of the week.
Didn't say that you're not good as me. I'm saying Phil Henry had you on, make it look like every English guy's going to push a broom.
I don't think it makes him look like that at all. We all know that a lot of Englishmen have done all kinds of things, good things and bad things.
Right. I mean, Ian is just a fan of the show.
I just think it's bad. I don't think you should be on a show.
Right, well, maybe I don't think you will be on a show on account of you don't know how to ride a motorbike, and you ran your motorbike right into a tree, and you put your head through a tree, you're right, and you've turned your brains into mush, right?
Didn't turn my brains into mush. It's called a motorcycle, not a motorbike.
Well, I call it a motorbike. I'm going to call it a motorbike because it bothers you, right? I'll give you a good bashing, give your mind a good bashing, as you put your head through right the tree. You see?
Why do these... Don't argue with him, Ian. Don't argue with him. Talk to us. Because all Bud likes to do is stir people up.
I'm not stirring nobody up. I'm coming to his defense. You being on a show like this.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that I'm hurting him on purpose by having him on the show?
I just don't think you understand to have a guy on who's a janitor.
That's right. What's wrong with me being a janitor? I'm not talking to people about you with a plate in your head. I'm not saying how come Phil Henry has a playhead on, right? I'm not saying Phil Henry has a playhead on there. Am I saying that?
No.
All right, I could. I go on another radio show, get my own radio show, which I'm going to do someday. You wait and see.
Yeah, ha 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 ha. You're not going to have your own radio show as a janitor.
Well, I have a radio show before you do, because they put me on, and I talk like people understand me. I can talk like people understand what I'm saying, and not like I got a mouth full of mush like you. See?
All right, look at guys, this is not going to, you know, prove anything.
Mouth full of mush? You're talking like an English person. Nobody understands you.
I understand him, and I understand you. Now shut up.
Anyway, I was saying that now I lost my place and everything.
Ian, that's all right. You were talking about how I was telling Phil to take a shuttle to hell.
Right, a shuttle to hell. And basically, when I was talking to Mr. Henry, he said, where did rotten hell come from? And I said, it comes from rot. Why don't you rot? You know, and that's how that comes from.
Big deal. You come on the program and...
You shut up, Bud, before I start beating your ass.
God, that sounds gay.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna go and let you go, Miss Henry. Listen to this. Not only this fairy, this nutter, and he sounds like a fruit, too.
Why'd you hang up on him?
I'm trying to save him from himself. Come on, like a janitor and everything like that. Sound calling me a nutter.
You are a nutter. It's exactly what you are.
I'm not going to be a nutter much longer if you let her keep kicking my testicles in.
Oh!
Would you ask him to leave, please? No, on second thought, I'll leave.
Well, it's the end of the show, so I'll let her go. Bud, you're out of control. You're saying stuff that you shouldn't say. You don't pay attention to me. You don't take my direction. You're jumping in and butting in and saying all kinds of stuff, and it's pissing me off. You understand? And, you know, it's one thing if you got an opinion about some guy talking about how he shouldn't be on the show because he's making an ass out of himself. What, are you jealous of him or something?
What am I jealous of a janitor for?
Well, I don't know. Why are you then? Then why would you...
Because I don't think it doesn't make him look good.
So that's his decision. He'll come on here if he wants to come on. Anyway, I'm going to take a break. I want to remind you that we're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. A backstage pass gets you access to thousands of hours of archive material, as well as our video cast, as well as our Saturday night show, and so much more. And if you've got a backstage pass this month, the month of December, for 1 month, you get one free best of CD download at our shop. For 6 months, you get three free best of CD downloads. And for 1 year, you get 5 best of free CD downloads. If you get your shop orders in before 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, we're going to pick up the cost of the handling. So get your shop orders in before 10 a.m. this morning. And go over to the website. It's explained in full over there. But we got a deal for you if you get your orders in before 10 a.m. this morning. Capiche? Beauty. Phil Henry Show until, well, until tonight. Let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.